It is good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. I would ask you to take your scriptures and turn to Proverbs chapter 8. The Old Testament book of Proverbs chapter 8. And as you're turning there, I just want to thank Dad and the session here for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. What a privilege it is to get to open the Word of God with you and study it together. May the Lord help us by His Spirit as we read the Word and as we hear it preached. And it is good to be with my parents, along with my wife and our five loud, crazy children. The nest is now empty, but it is not quiet, at least for the rest of the day tomorrow, today and on into tomorrow. Let's turn to the Word, to Proverbs chapter 8. We will read the entire chapter. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me, love death. This is the word of God. Let's all pray together. O Lord, our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we bow before you. We submit ourselves to you, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We confess our sin to you. We confess that on our own we have no right to approach you and no right even to worship, apart from Jesus Christ, your Son, who is wisdom indeed. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be our teacher this morning, that by your Spirit you would come and open blind eyes, that you would give faith to those who do not believe, that for those of us who are in Christ, that you would build us up in holiness and comfort through faith and the salvation. O Father, glorify your Son by your Spirit this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I like to think that we are wise, don't we? We like to think that with enough natural giftedness and with enough hard work that we can become truly wise, that we can be the sages, if you will, that others will come to for advice and for instruction. That if we just have enough data, enough information, that if we do enough research, if we study hard enough, and if we work hard enough, that we can become those who are truly wise. That in our own natural strength and our own natural giftedness, that we can become wise. And indeed, our own cultural moment takes this thinking a step further. At our own time, think of our own day, and even the idea that we can not only understand reality, but that we can reshape and redefine and even recreate reality as we wish. I'll give you a concrete example of this in the transgender movement, the so-called transgender idea, that we can express ourselves as we wish, as we choose, that we can not only use our own natural understanding to understand reality, but even to reshape it and create it in our own image. We've professed ourselves to be wise, but yet we've become fools. And the book of Proverbs, helpfully, by the grace of God, corrects this fallen natural thinking, this pride that's deep in your heart and in my heart, and it points us afresh to the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, discovering the depth of our own foolishness. Apparent wisdom, we boast in our own natural wisdom, but yet it's foolishness apart from Jesus Christ and the wisdom that He reveals to us even in this book. To help us gain an understanding of the context here, what I want to do is talk briefly about these chapters, chapters 7, 8, and 9, here in the book of Proverbs before us. Here, the writer of Proverbs is presenting to us a choice between two women. We could call them Lady Folly on one hand and Lady Wisdom on the other. You see this very clearly chapter 7, 4 and 5. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. So there's Lady Wisdom. And then verse 5, Lady Folly, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And the rest of chapter 7 unfolds for us the deception of Lady Folly. She's in the city. She lurks on every corner. She seduces. She lies. She deceives. She's a pagan, false religion. She's offered her vows and her offerings. She reaches for the simple young man, the undiscerning, the gullible one who will yield to her lies. And make no mistake, to listen to Lady Folly, to yield to her lies, to listen to her deception is to go to death, to the place. Her house is the very gateway of hell. We read this at the end of chapter 7, verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. The end of chapter 9 as well, 9:18. The simple one. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, speaking of Lady Folly's house, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. To listen to the strange woman is to die, is to, for a passing, fleeting moment of pleasure, to lose it all, to lose everything, and to lose your own soul. Don't listen to folly. Don't like her posts. Don't listen to her. Don't read what she has to say. Listen to Lady Wisdom. But if all I said this morning was simply to not yield to folly, and not just speaking here, certainly there's application to immorality, sexual immorality, but more broadly, the pagan cry to leave the one living and true God, to go down the path of foolishness and ruin. If all that I said this morning was to not listen to folly, we would be right in that. That'd be a right message, but it's only half of the message. We must listen to Lady Wisdom. We must listen to the voice of our teacher and our prophet, Jesus Christ. Then let's listen to him in chapter 8. We have another woman in another place with another message. Let's listen to Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is introduced in the beginning of chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. So wisdom, crying, lifting up her voice, calling for our attention. This is a word picture. She's if you will, from English class, here's a metaphor being used. A picture of what true wisdom is. Let's read on. Verse 2, she standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She cries out literally in the top of high places or from the mountaintops. She's by the way in the places of the paths, by the crossroads where much traffic would go. Verse 3, she cries at the gates of the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors, the entrance to the city. We should hear echoes of Exodus here, that even as Lady Wisdom cries from the top of the mountain, that there are echoes of the voice of God and His infallible revelation and His law given to His people Israel. And even as Lady Wisdom stands at the entrance to the city, it's as if she cries to the sons of men. She cries to those who are going into the city, come out from among them and be separate. Don't go in and listen to folly. Listen to me. Hear my message. And then we have Lady Wisdom's audience in verses 4 and 5. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Her call goes out to all men, to all those who pass by. Verse 5 further narrows her audience. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Both the simple ones, those who are undiscerning, gullible, simple ones, and those who are fools, obstinate, hardened, and proud. She calls to all. Certainly wisdom points us to and reflects the true wisdom of God, as I've already said, our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 clearly identifies our Lord Jesus as the wisdom of God. In Luke chapter 11, there's a sharp warning given that as the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, came to hear Solomon, so Jesus says to His listeners, hear me, I'm the greater than Solomon. And Colossians chapter 2 tells us that in Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is indeed the wisdom of God. So a question for us. How does Christ, the wisdom of God, reveal Himself to us? Well, we could say in one way, Christ is the wisdom of God, reveals Himself to us in the created order, the beauty of creation, in His works of creation and providence. That as you and I, and many of you were at the wedding yesterday and at the reception even after the wedding, and as you felt the rays of sunshine and the early fall afternoon and you saw the clear blue sky and the green grass and enjoyed time with family and friends, even there is in creation is a reflection of Jesus Christ, the true wisdom of God, who reveals Himself. We think of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Even the created order that God Jesus Christ, the agent of creation, the one by whom all this was made. Christ reveals himself first in his works of creation and providence. And don't miss the message that even general revelation, what theologians call general revelation, the created order, God's work of general providence, don't miss the message being proclaimed here. But even more particularly, Christ reveals himself to you in his word. In his word, that special revelation that is most necessary to teach us the way of salvation, to open our eyes to our own blindness and sinfulness, and to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. The word read, and particularly the word preached. In fact, the second Helvetic confession, one of the confessions that came out of the Reformation era, made this startling statement that the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. Not because of the man who's preaching, but because the Lord Jesus Christ, as the great prophet of his people, is proclaiming himself there through the proclaimed Word of God. So how do you listen even to preaching? How do you read your Bible? Are you coming with preparation and prayer? Do you receive the preached word with faith and love in humility? Do you prayerfully, relying on the grace of the Spirit, do you lay it up in your heart and by the grace of God practice it in your life? How do you think about preaching, particularly the preaching of the Word of God? Are you obstinate and hard? I plead with you to listen to the voice of wisdom. Christ Jesus, as he proclaims himself to you in the Word. What is wisdom's instruction? We have in verses 6 through 10 in particular, the instruction that wisdom gives us, Lady Wisdom calls us to. Note two verbs in particular, two commands. One in verse 6 and then again in verse 10. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And verse 10, receive my instruction. There's a connection here to both hear and to receive. There's a connection in the Word of God always between listening and receiving. Remember what James in his epistle commands us. Do not be hearers of the Word only, but be ye doers of the Word. It's not simply enough to hear the preaching of the Word, as vital as that is. But by the grace of the Spirit, you and I must practice it in our lives. We must be doers of the Word. As the writer of Hebrews poignantly called his audience, the congregation to which he wrote, to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So how are you listening? And how are you receiving the instruction of wisdom? I would urge particularly you children and young people, there are many of you here who have heard God's word preached from your earliest days. Don't push away your covenant privileges. Don't push Jesus Christ and him crucified away. Listen, give heed to the word. Receive the instruction of wisdom. Why should you receive this instruction? We have numerous references in these verses to the lips and the mouth of wisdom. Verse 6, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. So we have numerous reference to the words even that wisdom gives us. And here we should even look beyond Lady Wisdom, ultimately to our Lord Jesus Christ, and recognize the words of eternal life that he would give us. Remember Peter's confession in John chapter 6? So many there, shortly after the miracle of feeding the 5,000 in John chapter 6, their disciples who, after they hear the pointed teaching of our Savior, they do not receive it, and they walk away. And our Lord then presents the question to the 12, will you also go away? But remember what Peter said.
Lord, to whom can we go?
You have the words of eternal life.
To whom can we go? Our Savior Christ alone has the words of eternal life. They are words of truth and no lies. They are words that are plain and not seductive or tricky like the strange woman. They are words that are righteous and not wicked. Hear the words. Hear the instruction of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I press upon you, even in our own cultural moment, to listen to wisdom. To listen to our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you listening to? What are you being shaped by? Remember that whatever you read, whatever you study, whatever you watch, whatever you listen to will have a shaping impact on your life. Either you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, conformed to the image of our Savior, changed more and more from one degree of glory to another as you behold His face in the Word. Or you will be hardened, you will be conformed to the lies and the deception of this passing world. I press upon you the holy duty of listening to wisdom. But there's more here as we go through our text, particularly verse 11. The value, the great value of wisdom. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. There's a great incentive that comes to listening to Lady Wisdom, ultimately the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ always offers us a better way. I know I've just pressed upon you the duty of not listening to the siren call of this passing world, to not be shaped by the world. And certainly that's a duty that we all do well to attend to. But there's an incentive for you and for me as Christians that Christ always offers us something better. In Christ, there's a better house in a better city, in a better kingdom with better promises than anything that folly could ever offer. Folly called the simple one to her house in the city of man as part of the kingdom of Satan. She gave promises, but promises that were fleeting and deceptive. Christ always offers better. So hear Him. Incomparable wisdom. Better than rubies. And this is a theme that's repeated throughout this section. Really through verse 12 all the way through 31 is an extended reflection on the supremacy of Jesus Christ. The more excellent one. Verses 12 through 21. To sum up those verses, we could say that Jesus Christ is indeed the excellent one. The one who is better than riches, better than silver, better than gold. To put it in 21st century parlance, better than your bank account, better than your 401k, better than your stash of Bitcoin, better than your silver and gold, better than your house, better than your cars, better than anything you could buy, sell, hold, or trade. Christ is better. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, yea, I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing, of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Delight in Him. He must be your treasure. So Christ is the one of infinite value, the one that we are to desire. He is the one who exposes, we go through verses 12 through 21, He is the one who exposes every wicked invention and every evil action of men. He is the one who sets up kings, princes and nobles, and by Him, the one by whom judges decree. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if you set your eyes on Christ, on the wisdom found in Him, you will not be disappointed. In 22 through 31, we have the eternity of our Lord Jesus Christ. A reference here to the reality that our Lord Christ is the preexistent Son of the Father, the eternal Son of God, the one who existed from the beginning, who had no beginning, and who will have no end. He is the Alpha and Omega. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Again, even here in the shadows of the Old Testament, we have a meditation on the glories of Christ, the one by whom the worlds were made. Hebrews chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him, by Christ, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And Colossians chapter 1, all things were created by Him and for Him. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, the eternal delight of the Father, who in turn delights in the sons of men. He is full of majesty, full of glory, and full of grace. But yet, even as the eternal Son of the Father, the one full of majesty and glory and radiance, He is the one who humbled Himself and took on our flesh. He became obedient to the death of the cross for sinners like you and like me. Bore the wrath of God that you and I deserved to bear. Crushed sin and death, and rose triumphant on the third day, securing for you and me life, forgiveness of sins, and everlasting communion with God triune. Christ, indeed, is the incomparable one, our Redeemer, our Savior, our King, the true wisdom of God. He is the one in whom wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. He is the revealer of the Father. All the words of His mouth are righteous, true, and plain. He is worth far more than rubies. So how is this reality reflected in your life? Is He your treasure? Is He the one you worship? He is indeed worthy of your worship, worthy of your affection, worthy of your service. And Lady Wisdom, as we conclude today, Lady Wisdom drives home her point at the end of the discourse, verses 32 through 36, in a final call to listen, to hear her instruction. You see in verse 32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children." Verse 33, "Hear instruction." And verse 34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me." Again, a final call to hear. And to hear to the saving of your soul. I said it a few moments ago, but Christ always offers something better. To give heed, to listen to folly, will lead you down the path of deception and ruin every time. Say no. Please say no to the siren calls of folly. But Christ always offers better. We see the capstone here in verse 35. "For whoso findeth me, findeth wisdom, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." In our Lord Jesus Christ, the true wisdom of God is life and life everlasting. He is the one who brings life to dead and ruined sinners. And as the wisdom of God, He is not like other teachers who would seek to impart wisdom, who would seek to be the sage to call out our attention, and the one who would seek to instruct us. As the wisdom of God, He sent His Spirit into our hearts to transform us, to take away our heart of stone, and to give us a heart of faith. Christ, as our teacher, does not merely present us with information, not as a lecture, not as a mere passing along of information, but He is the one who gives us His Spirit, who changes our hearts, and who gives us true life. And as we prepare, particularly for the Lord's table this evening, I want to point you to the reality once again that Christ, as the wisdom of God, offers you a better place, a better house. Even at the beginning of verse 9, we read of that house. "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars." A better house, and even a better city, whose builder and maker is God, and a better feast. We read of this feast in verse 5. "Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled." Remember that folly also offered a feast. We read of this later on in chapter 9, where folly says that she calls out again to the simple one, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But that's a false feast. It's a feast that leads to death. But wisdom offers you life and life everlasting in the feast of the Lord. In these words, as wisdom calls us to the feast of the Lord, we should hear the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Come to Christ. If you're in Him, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and King, then even take time this afternoon to reflect on your own sinful unworthiness. The fact that you and I indeed are foolish, bent on our own ways by nature. But God in Christ has intervened. God, by His Spirit, has opened your blind eyes to the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ. He's given you faith to embrace Christ, to lay hold of Him. And even in the table, for those who will partake of the elements this evening, you have visible signs that point you to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. A tangible meal of bread in the cup that points us to the sacrifice of our Savior, but even beyond that sacrifice, to the communion that you and I have by faith with God triune, and the hope that we have of everlasting life at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And for those of you who are yet outside of Christ, who are relying on your own wisdom, seeking to carve your own path, seeking to shape your own reality, and listening to Lady Folly, I urge you to run from your own foolishness and come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Let us all pray. O Lord God, we rejoice in the wisdom that you have revealed in Jesus Christ. We thank you that in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, we ask that you would teach us by your word and by your Spirit, that you would deliver us from our natural stubbornness, that you would teach us your ways, that you would make us teachable. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom, your wisdom on full display. We ask that you would receive all the praise and all the glory. And even as we prepare for the table of the Lord this evening, that you would help us to come to rejoice in the benefit of our Savior Jesus Christ, the one whose blood has been shed for our sins, the one whose body was broken on the cross that we might be redeemed and welcomed to your table. Lord, we ask that you would hasten that day when we gather together with all the saints from around the globe to sit at the very marriage supper of the Lamb. O Lord Jesus, receive all the praise and all the glory. Amen.